Well, as Judy mentioned, my name is Avani Patel. I'm a low vision optometrist. And the purpose of today's discussion was to better understand what low vision rehabilitation was all about, determine what types of patients make good candidates for low vision rehabilitation, and then also inform you about some of the new options, treatments, aids that are available to help people use their vision a little bit better so that they can function as independently as possible. Okay, so first, a public service announcement. Did you know that July is UV Awareness Month? So we know that ultraviolet radiation causes damage not just to the back of the eye, but also to the front surface of the eye, and it also leads to melanomas. We need to make sure that everyone protects their eyes with proper sun protection, which means full UVA and UVB protection. And, you know, living in California, really every month should be UV Awareness Month. But if you are able to use sunglasses, you will really be taking a proactive approach to protecting your eyesight. So just wanted to talk about how important that is. And now let's start with our discussion today. Low vision, what is it? Low vision is when you have impairment of vision that significantly affects how an individual functions. So the key in that sentence is functioning. If you have any type of vision condition that affects how you're functioning, you might be suffering from a form of low vision. It is also vision that cannot be corrected with medical, surgical therapy, or conventional glasses and contacts. So these are people that say, gosh, even with the best pair of glasses and contacts, I'm just not seeing as well as I would like to see. And an individual with low vision might experience loss of central vision, where they may have difficulty seeing faces or reading, daytime or nighttime. They might have loss of peripheral vision, where it makes it difficult for them to travel independently. They might have distorted or double vision from keratoconus or head injury, strokes. And lastly, they may have severe glare sensitivity and loss of contrast. Fluorescent lighting in a room like this could be bothersome to someone with low vision, or the extreme glare when you're outside. I would like to clarify what low vision is not. Low vision does not provide a cure for the problem. So it's not going to restore vision back to the way it used to be, but simply we will, in the team of low vision specialists, find options to help you maximize your vision. Low vision does not replace the need for ophthalmological care. Your ophthalmologist is the number one doctor on the team who is managing the eye health. And so this is an adjunct service or something in addition to that number one service that you're receiving through ophthalmology. And the most critical part about low vision rehabilitation is it's a collaborative approach. So no one individual is able to provide all of the services. It really takes a team of specialists. I sat down and put together a list of some of the people on the team that work with low vision patients. And we said it takes a village or a team to help somebody with vision loss. You should begin with an ophthalmologist who will be helping to stabilize the eye condition. From there, the ophthalmologist will be referring you to a low vision optometrist whose job it will be to design contact lenses or spectacle lenses to enhance that sight. And then we may then refer you to an OT, an orientation and mobility specialist, an independent living skills person, another individual that will help you learn to do some of your day-to-day activities a little more easily, from being safe at home, being safe in the kitchen, traveling independently, marking your appliances, things like that. If you are in school or working or have an interest in learning to use computers, we would then refer you on to a technology specialist. Some individuals find it very hard to cope with life once they've had some changes to the vision, So there may be a referral to a psychologist or a social worker. And if you're in school, elementary school or high school, we are also working with teachers for the visually impaired. And finally, many areas have a Department of Rehabilitation program. So if you have vocational needs or educational needs, we would also refer you to the appropriate rehabilitation specialist. So as you can see, it really does take a team approach. Now, what is low vision? The National Eye Institute describes low vision as the best corrected eyesight, meaning with the best pair of glasses or contacts, your vision is less than 20/40 in the better seeing eye. And I think that's an important point because many people want to know, how bad do I have to be in order to seek services from a low vision specialist? If your vision is 20/40 or worse in the better eye and you are struggling in some way, it would absolutely be worthwhile to have a different type of eye exam. Now, the World Health Organization uses a more detailed classification to define what low vision is, from 20/30 to no light perception. The reason why this classification is so important is, if you will draw your attention to the very bottom three lines, anybody whose vision is 20/200 with the best pair of glasses or contacts in the better eye is technically considered legally blind. And legally blind does not mean you're completely blind, but it means you do have significant vision impairment. That's an important distinction because you might be eligible for many more services if you have a letter stating you're legally blind. You get tax exemptions. You might be able to get additional services through the VA hospital if you're legally blind. And, you know, you might have different options such as Social Security options that you would be entitled to. So when you see a doctor, if your vision is in that legal blindness category, it really is not a bad idea to have your doctor write a note that you keep in your bag stating that you're visually impaired and legally blind. So if you ever need to use it for services, you have it at all times. The second definition of legal blindness is in the better eye, you have less than 20 degrees of vision. Basically, it's as if you're looking through a small straw. So someone with retinitis pigmentosa or someone with glaucoma might have good central vision, but they may have lost all of their side or peripheral vision. So if you have less than 20 degrees of vision, you would also qualify for legal blindness benefits. Okay, so let's review once again what low vision is and why we use this option for some patients. As Judy mentioned, there's so many wonderful advances in modern medicine and technology. But as of today, we do not have a treatment that will completely restore all eyesight. And we know that with vision impairment, you face so many challenges in life. And low vision really offers you some type of solution for the time being to help compensate for that vision loss. So by retraining the system, modifying your environment, learning to use aids and technology, you can continue to maintain some sense of independence. And that is the purpose of a low vision rehab program. Am I too loud?
No.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't know if you need this picture.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's review some of the types of symptoms that can be assisted by low vision professionals. If you have loss of central vision from macular degeneration, you would benefit from a low vision exam. If you have loss of peripheral vision, glare disability, double vision, loss of contrast sensitivity, generalized haze, or night blindness, you would make good candidates for a low vision assessment. The number one question we often get asked is, what is the difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist? I already see an eye doctor. Why do I need to see yet another eye doctor? The biggest distinguishing factor is an ophthalmologist is a medical doctor who is trained to stabilize the eye condition, either with surgery or medications. An optometrist, someone like me, we are not trained to perform surgery, but it's our job to enhance vision with any and all options outside of surgery. And believe it or not, only 5% of all optometrists or ophthalmologists are trained in the field of low vision rehabilitation. So it's a small little group of people. Okay, so in a nutshell, what are some of the types of aids that a low vision eye doctor might prescribe? We really want to keep things simple if possible. So if we can make a better pair of glasses, if we can customize a prescription, if you have a bifocal and you need it to be 5 times more powerful, there are special laboratories that can create a customized prescription. Some folks are really sensitive to glare and lighting and need special tints if they have glaucoma or retinitis pigmentosa. And some of those tints can actually be applied to eyewear, or you can wear it as a clip-on or a filter. Some of our patients suffer from double vision as a result of head trauma, strokes, brain injuries. And there are lenses called prisms to help reduce double vision or to improve eye tracking when you're reading. And once conventional glasses or powerful lenses are not strong enough, we may move on to telescopic or microscopic eyewear. We can literally put small telescopes and microscopes in a pair of glasses, much like what a surgeon or a dentist would use to perform surgery, so that you have something that's hands-free that you can use to read or view or look at your crafts. Many of you have seen some of the magnifiers that are available. Some companies will allow us to put your exact custom prescription into a magnifying lens. And from there, for some of you, you might even be interested in electronic adaptive aids and video magnifiers. And because computers have changed and the technology has changed, I really encourage everybody to just go out and meet some of the vendors that are out there, because they have some really incredible new electronic aids that will help you see without all of the eye strain of having to use powerful glasses. And of course, in low vision, all of the other rehabilitative services are so critical, from independent living skills to orientation and mobility to counseling. I really would like to emphasize that a low vision exam is nothing like a regular eye exam. And we will not be duplicating the tests that you've already had by the ophthalmologist. You're getting complete health exams by the eye doctor. And what we want to do is really emphasize a functional assessment to see if we can help you function a little bit more easily. A low vision exam is normally anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half long, and it's tailored to each individual's unique need. So we make a list of the top 2 or 3 goals that you would like us to address, and that's how we tackle some of the issues in a low vision exam. So it starts off by evaluating your vision at all distances, measuring where the blind spots are in your visual field, testing your contrast sensitivity, meaning do you need things to be black and white, or how much does your vision change when the contrast changes? We want to measure the extent of your color vision. We'd also like to test your glare tolerance. How much does your vision change when you have lots of glare or minimal lighting? We will also be testing for double vision, visual and cognitive processing, eye tracking, things like that. So as you can see, this is going to be a slightly different type of a functional vision assessment. Now, I wanted to show you, these are some of the areas that I test for when I begin my low vision exam. And the first thing you'll notice is the eye chart at the very top of the page. We use a completely different eye chart. The regular Snellen eye chart, the big letter E eye chart, sometimes does not help us accurately measure your eyesight because the contrast is not so good. And with low vision issues, contrast is such an important part of eyesight. So we might use low vision eye charts that are black and white, that are movable so that I can move it out of your blind spot and into your usable vision. We can move it up close, move it far away, but in a low vision eye chart, it is calibrated so that we have the perfect spacing between the numbers and the contrast is the best that it can be for someone with a visual condition. And we would be testing your eyesight at all distances. So if you said, gosh, I sit 5 feet away from my TV set, that's my goal, that's what I would like to see. We're going to measure your vision at all ranges, but really emphasize the distance that you need. The next thing we do that's a little bit different is we don't use the traditional ferropter or the eye instrument that measures your prescription for glasses. Many patients with low vision have blind spots in their vision, or they might have macular degeneration so that they do not have central vision. And the small lens that one looks through on a traditional ferropter is too small for you to utilize your full vision. So the young gentleman in the lower picture has a trial frame, it's just a frame, and I can put loose lenses into the frame, and the patient can move their eyes up, down, and move their blind spots around so that we're accurately measuring the eyesight at all distances and all ranges. So measuring your prescription is very different than a traditional eye exam. These are some of the tests that I would do if they're possible for the patient to do, but we want to map out the field of vision. Do they have side vision? Do they have blind spots? How big are the blind spots? Is there depth perception issues? Are there color vision issues? Letter E, lighting, that's such an important part of the low vision exam, measuring how your vision changes with different types of lighting. Believe it or not, the hardest types of lighting for somebody with a visual condition, the worst type of lighting, I should say, is fluorescent and halogen because of all of the glare that's emitted with that. The best type of lighting for a low vision person is a full spectrum light or an incandescent light bulb, especially one that's positioned behind the shoulder of the better eye. So if you're reading, you're doing a craft, finding where to position lighting so that you're enhancing your vision to the best of your ability. The other portion that gets overlooked during a regular eye exam is the glare testing. We mentioned that glare in a room like this or glare outside really affects the quality of vision. Someone with macular degeneration might prefer using yellow tinted lenses as a contrast enhancement lens. Somebody with glaucoma may find that using an orange colored lens reduces some of the glare that their eyes are sensitive to. Somebody with retinitis pigmentosa may prefer a burgundy tinted lens for glare control. So taking a look at the condition you have and then finding what type of lenses improve the sight, reduce glare, and enhance contrast. And then from there, once I've gathered all of that information, that's when I really sit down and design or develop some type of prescription that would work or possibly use magnification telescopes or microscopes. Any questions so far about the low vision exam or the steps involved? Barbara.
You mentioned coming in with goals to the low vision exam. What are some examples of goals to consider before going to the exam?
That is such a good question. I like to have three things that really bother you about your vision that you used to be able to do that you can no longer do because your vision has changed. The number one goal that most of the patients have is reading. They'll say, I just can't read the way I used to read before. The second goal that I see is distance vision or driving. Am I a candidate for driving? My vision's changed, I still need to drive. I need to maintain, be able to go to the doctor's office or the market. So that would be another goal I see. And the third goal we really see is just being able to maintain day-to-day activities at home, like preparing a meal, grooming, doing things like that. But just something that you're struggling to do because the vision has changed. And each exam is really tailored to what you need. So your goals may be different from the next patient's goals. And we really want to make sure that If reading is a struggle, you bring in samples of items that you have a hard time reading. If it's medicine labels or a newspaper, bring it in so that once I design the best correction, I can test it on what it is that you would like to be able to see. And what's also very important for the low vision exam is bring in all of your devices, glasses, magnifiers that work, and everything that doesn't work, so that I have a good starting point as to what you're using for certain needs and what used to work but no longer works for other needs. So open up the brown bag and pile everything in there. Good question. Any other questions so far? Hello?
How do we find a low vision optometrist?
Most referrals come from your ophthalmologist. So if you're seeing the ophthalmologist and they are working on stabilizing your eye health, but you're finding that it's still hard to see with the glasses you have, you can always ask for a referral. Meetings like this, Judy Delgado, can, Judy, you don't mind if I refer everybody to you. But everybody lives in different areas, and so because it's such a small group of low vision optometrists, meetings such as this, you know, we can find someone in your area. But it's really by a referral. Thank you. So what are some of these aids that we're talking about that helps that help individuals with low vision? Of course, we always want to keep it really simple, straightforward, and easy. If we can make you the best pair of glasses, we would love to do that. Custom contact lenses, if you have keratoconus, would be our next step. Filters, which would be tinted lenses, we'd like to incorporate that into your glasses or fit-overs or clip-ons. But when conventional glasses, tinted lenses, contacts are just not strong enough, we do need to take it to the next level and consider telescopic aids. And telescopes can be something as simple as a handheld monocular to help you see street signs or crossing streets. They can be binoculars, or what's new in low vision is there's a very exciting little autofocus telescope that's mounted to the top of your glasses called an Ocutech autofocus telescope. And it's like a point and shoot camera. You look at it and it actually focuses your vision in. Some of these aids can be used to help you see faces in a lecture room. It can be used to help you watch television. And in some states, if you have enough central vision, peripheral vision, color perception, some of these fancy telescopic aids can help individuals drive. But it really does vary from state to state, and it really does vary depending on your amount of usable vision. But while we're talking about driving, the new DMV law says that if you would like to drive with a telescopic pair of glasses called a bioptic telescope, number one, you absolutely must have better than 20 over 200 vision in the good eye. Number two, you should have at least 100 to 120 degrees of peripheral vision in that good eye. Number three, you should have adequate color perception, meaning the ability to see red, green, and yellow streetlights. And number four, through the telescope, your vision should be corrected to 20 over 40. And although in a low vision exam, we can do a driving assessment, that's where we talk about it being tailored to your need. We can do an assessment, we can prescribe this fancy telescope, but this is no guarantee that you're going to get the special driver's license. Once we do the assessment, prescribe the recommended telescopic pair of glasses, you now have to go to a special driving school to learn how to drive with telescopes. And then from there, you are eligible to apply for a license. So this is, you can go through all the steps and it's no guarantee that you will be driving with a bioptic telescope. And unfortunately, it is getting harder and harder for people to get these types of specialty licenses. So my suggestion is to most of my patients, if your vision is in the better eye, is between 20/40 and 20/80, and you have good peripheral vision in the better eye and good color perception, it might actually be easier for you to apply for a restricted or a limited license, which is no extra cost, no extra fee, because most people with low vision do limit their vision in some way. Now, if you do apply for one of these licenses, be prepared. The DMV will test you, give you a written test, a behind-the-wheel test, and they are now performing cognitive testing after a certain age. But they're all very easy questions, like, what is your zip code? Or where do you live? But they really are testing people a little bit more carefully. So there are three types of license. The traditional full license, if you have low vision, it might be easier to qualify for a limited or a restricted license. And if you don't qualify for that, there is always the option of a bioptic license, which is really the most challenging license, and it takes the greatest investment. Questions on driving and telescopes? Okay. So, what are some new options to help you improve your distance eyesight? You know, just a few years ago, we did not have very good options, electronic aids to improve your eyesight, but there's a company called Optilec, and they have a booth here. They have this really neat portable aid called the FarView. And from the picture, you can see that it's a little girl in class who has a, looks like a pocket calculator, but in one mode, it acts like a telescope. And you can point and focus and zoom it to whatever the teacher's writing or whatever is happening in the front of the room. And then in another mode, you can turn it into a reading aid. So this is one of the newer electronic aids that allows you to see better in the distance. And what I'm trying to do is offer you some new options outside of telescopes to improve your eyesight. There is now another type of device called the Acrobat, the Onyx, the Clarity Deskmate. And of course, I can't list all of the devices available, but what it is they are cameras that you can hook up to a monitor or a laptop. And you can point the camera in the distance to be able to see what the lecturer looks like. But then you can swivel the camera up close so that you can read your notes. Or you can point the camera to your face so if grooming is an issue, you can see well enough to shave or apply makeup and things like that. So these are some nice new devices that enhance the distance and reading eyesight. And I know for a fact that some of our vendors out front have some of these set up so that you can take a look at them. Now, we said the number one goal that most people come in with is reading. And I often get asked, gosh, I have this magnifier that I love using. Can't you make me a pair of glasses and put that prescription into a pair of glasses? The answer is yes, you can do that. You can make glasses as powerful as you want. But there is a drawback. Every time you make glasses more powerful, they focus extremely close to your face. So there are pros and cons of using very powerful reading lenses. For an individual that has crafts or ceramics or painting, they may not want to bring the item that close to see. They may need some distance. So once again, we can use telescopes or microscopes to give you a little more distance. The only drawback of a telemicroscope is it's like looking through a pair of binoculars. You only get a very small field of view, which may not be practical. And then there are always the conventional hand magnifiers and stand magnifiers that many of you have seen. What's very exciting, and I think really if I could pick one device or aid that helps most people across the board, is finding a good standalone CCTV or a video magnifier that allows you to change the size of the print, the contrast, color combinations, and now they have flat screen monitors, so optically they're a better system. But the drawback to one of these used to be that they were so heavy, they were not portable, you could not take them with you. Now, we have so many companies that have come out with smaller, portable reading video magnifiers or reading machines that you can take them to a meeting or a classroom or a grocery store. And so this is just a very convenient, practical way to be able to have help outside of using powerful reading glasses. And I know that some of the vendors have some of these on display as well. Does anybody in this room have enough impaired sight that they use electronic magnification? Okay, one person. Okay, and, ooh, that didn't turn out very clear. Sorry, that's my fault, oops. Computer vision was always such a big struggle for us, and we often would make computer glasses, but every time we made them powerful, you would have to get very close to the screen. When we tried to make computer telescopes, you could only see a small area at a time. Well, we now have better magnification and screen reading programs for the computer, such as Magic or Big Shot or Zoom Text or WinZoom, examples of some of these. And so these are software programs that allow you to magnify the images on the computer screen and sit back at a more comfortable distance, which is so much more practical for somebody with low vision. As far as an individual that has very limited vision, we might use reading or scanning software programs. If you are just not a visual reader, or your eyes fatigue very quickly, or you have poor tracking, there are scanners that will take a picture of the reading material and read it out loud for you. And to me, that is also a wonderful, exciting option. And I know that there were several different styles of scanner with some of our vendors today. And then believe it or not, some of my low vision patients who are very technologically savvy have started to use the iPhone and enhance the print, or the iPad, or the electronic readers to read some of their reading material. So they actually make wonderful new low vision aids. But in addition to the optometric part of the low vision program, I really want to emphasize that there is a whole non-optical component. And once we're done with the optometric portion, it is so critical to be referred on to an orientation and mobility specialist or an independent living skills specialist to see if you are functioning as well as you can. And you always have the option of talking books or big button phones, large print checks, things like that to make life easier. I don't know if many of you have heard of this new little gadget, but it's a new non-optical device called the Pen Friend. Has anybody heard of that? A Pen Friend? This is such a cool little device. It looks, oh, here I have a picture. There it is. It actually looks like a large pen, and it uses a voice labeling system so that you can record and re-record items. So it's a pen. You put little stickers on items or spice jars that you would like to be able to hear, and you can label it with your own voice, and it will tell you what is in that bottle. So it's an auditory labeling system. Barbara, do you have any? Do you have that?
Do you have it at your store?
Do you have it today?
No.
Okay, that's okay. But if any of you are interested in seeing it, I would say connect with Barbara, because it's such a neat little labeling system. It reads everything out loud to you that you have labeled with little white dots and recorded with your own voice. There is another neat little item called the color identifier, and it also looks like a mini remote control. You hold it up to your clothing, and it will tell you what the color is. It will say light blue or dark blue. So for people with vision loss where they cannot see certain shades of colors, it allows them to identify all of their colors, which is so neat. I often get asked, what are better cell phones to use? And honestly, I haven't been hired by Samsung, but I hear that the Samsung Haven cell phone, which you can find at a Verizon store, has speech recognition and larger print, and many of my low vision patients like that as a cell phone, as well as the Jitterbug, which is just a more simplified cell phone. Okay. And so I'm just going to leave you with just five basic tips that you can all utilize starting today to make life a little bit easier for you. Improve the lighting that you're using at home. Improve contrast. If you're eating and you have a hard time seeing the food on your plate, sometimes using a dark plate with lighter food makes such a big difference. You can actually see the food on your plate. Find ways to reduce glare, because by eliminating glare, you will actually have slightly better vision. Maximize and utilize all of the large print materials that are out there, from talking phones to large print books and things like that. And if you need someone to come out to the home to mark appliances so that you can use them a little more safely, it would absolutely be worth it to speak with some of the rehabilitation specialists that are out here today. So I thank you for your attention. This concludes my program, but any questions right now about what low vision is and what it encompasses? Thank you. Thank you for your attention.